This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Scott Wester. Scott's the CEO and president of Our Lady of the Lake Health System Medical Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one of the great places in the country. Scott, a pleasure to get to visit with you today. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Scott. So I've been with our health system. It's a Catholic faith-based health system located headquarters in Baton Rouge. And I've been 28 years in the healthcare field, graduated from Xavier University in Cincinnati, got my master's of health administration. And it's been a great journey professionally and rewarding for me to work for a Catholic faith-based organization my entire career.
And so how does a guy who went to school at Xavier end up back in Louisiana in Baton Rouge?
Well, it's I'm trying to be quick in this story. So one of my college graduate school classmates was a very close friend with one of our Franciscan sisters, Sister Linda. And this was also Sister Lorraine was my classmate. And she said, hey, you might want to talk to Sister Linda. I hear that's a great organization in Baton Rouge. And she connected the two of us. And she asked me to come down to interview for an administrative fellowship. And the rest was history. So January 3rd in 1993, I moved from Cincinnati to Baton Rouge.
And so what was it like? I mean, moving to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Louisiana is a magnificent place. We've got cousins and family there, but it's really a different world. What was that evolution like moving from Cincinnati to Louisiana to begin with?
Well, it was nerve-wracking a little bit. Really didn't have any connection at all with anybody in Louisiana. My good friend back home in Cincinnati asked me questions such as, do you have to wear shoes to go to work? The whole perception about being in the South, in the deep South. Do you take a boat to work? All these things, you know, you kind of get that in your head. And then when I got here, I recognized, my goodness, the people of this state, the people of the Baton Rouge community are like your immediate family when you arrive into the state or into the town. And I've been so blessed. Married my wife, who grew up in New Orleans. I got two wonderful daughters. My family lives in town, my in-laws. And it's been, you know, I've now lived longer in Louisiana than I have in Ohio. So I now claim myself as a true Cajun.
So the in-laws are a medical family as well. Is there ever any tension with you as a hospital administrator and your father-in-law is an OB-GYN in terms of whether administrators or physicians should run the world? What's the perception there, or is everything pretty copacetic at family outings?
Well, and then I have my uncle on his brother is a ENT physician. So needless to say, at the corner of the table for Thanksgiving, we can get into pretty deep discussion about things. And usually the second bottle of wine then starts getting poured. To even put salt in the wound, I now have both my brother and sister in-laws on my wife's side are attorneys, and then they've married attorneys. So not only do I got the physician on one side, I then got four attorneys on the other side. So the level of debate and discussion is pretty robust.
So did you ever try and bail out of Thanksgiving early with all those attorneys and doctors there?
I try to say, let's go out and let's toss the football and let's have the turkey bowl.
Exactly. So talk about, to take you back to the subject of discussion today, talk about your top three priorities right now. Is CEO of the system, what do you view as the top three priorities right now?
Well, you know, the number one priority is really how we're still dealing with everything related to the COVID pandemic. And really my number one goal is, as we said from the very first day of the pandemic when we had our first positive patient in our organization, is what are we doing to support our team? That's number one priority. What are those things we got to do deliberately to make sure the health and well-being of our team is secure, making sure we take care of them for their whole balance of being a member of the clinical side of the house, and then making sure we deliver the continuous quality of care that the community expects of us. The second one is really trying to figure out how do we expand our ambulatory focus, and what are those areas in the organization maybe that we should think about getting more involved in or have more of an affiliation or allegiance to, and then working on our growth within our physician group enterprise. We have a very large employed physician group that's over 500 right now, and how do we continue to integrate that into really a unified physician group enterprise. And then probably the third is really trying to adapt healthcare model to really fit the consumer needs. That's pretty deep and has a lot of opportunities to understand how do we deal with, we use Epic as our clinical information system. So how do we maximize the use of the Epic platform, whether if it's the MyChart to other things, to how do we ensure that the level of access of services is really easy to do for our patients and the consumers that want to utilize us for site of service. And then thirdly, really is just how do that all interlinks to ensure that we're able to improve the overall health status of the community that we serve.
So really three or four big priorities. One is take care of and keep on dealing with COVID, the situation, make sure your employees are safe and taken care of. Two, build out the ambulatory network. Third, improve the delivery of care, sort of the patient experience, how you deliver care, and so forth, and keep on integrating your health system, and terrific. Talk about Our Lady of the Lake, and talk about a couple of things that you're most proud of when you queen with pride about the system. What are the two or three things that make you, you know, most positive about your system?
Well, we're the largest medical center in the state of Louisiana. We're very large, very complex. Go back to the deep roots of the Franciscan missionaries of Our Lady, our sponsored sisters. And they always go into areas that other people don't want to get into. And they just have that natural kind of mantra of themselves. So after Hurricane Katrina, a lot of displacement within medical education. About 70% of all medical training was done in New Orleans, and that got turned upside down. And we were asked by the state and by LSU School of Medicine if we would start getting into the GME world. And as a part of that, we then quickly became a large academic medical center really overnight. And as that kind of went through, the governor at the time, Bobby Jindal, recognized he could not rebuild a new university medical center in New Orleans and redo a new facility in Baton Rouge. And LSU came to us and said, do you think there's a chance for us to consolidate, quote, the charity hospital inside Our Lady of the Lake and bring all those training programs under one roof? And probably one of the proudest things that we've done as an institution is we've eliminated a two-tiered healthcare system in a very large metropolitan area of Baton Rouge. So it doesn't matter your status of payer classification or your needs associated with things, you get the same uniform care regardless. And our medical community and our medical staff has been terrific partners with us and really being able to do that across almost 800,000 residents in the Baton Rouge. And not many communities can kind of say, you know, it's a uniformed way we do practice of medicine within that piece. As an element of that, we were recognized through independent academic medical centers, and we got a national award for some of the work we're doing. We talked about what's the one area within academic medicine that we think we can be a national leader on, and we really described about the quality that we have within the organization. So let's tie the quality with the academic and learning environment, bridge it together, and we think we could be really a top-tier organization to kind of push that forward. ACGME selected 8 institutions around the country about 6 years ago. We were one of those institutions, and it helped accelerate a lot of the work we were doing on the academic front. But we became really close colleague friends with organizations of like University of California, San Francisco, the Cleveland Clinic, University of Rochester, Children's National, University of Texas, Austin with Dell Medical School, and a couple of others. And that's been great. It really helped us understand historical, long-serving academic centers that we were relatively new in, as well as I think we gave them a little bit of insight about how do you really look at quality and learning and combining those two things together and pushing things forward really as an interdisciplinary model rather than the traditional academic silo model.
So this is a fascinating concept, and I want to talk for a moment more about the strategic decision that you made. I mean, you've really mentioned a few great points of pride right now. Largest health system in the state, also in terms of the state, largest academic medical center, but also the fact that you really have got rid of bifurcated care. Everybody gets the same care regardless of wealth and race and all those kinds of things. Fantastic. What you said on the academic medical center side, I thought was just fantastic. What you said is, look, we had to make a strategic decision. Where could we be special? Where could we really be great? How did you get to the thinking around that question to really address that question hardcore? Because that's so important in so many people's strategic discussions. Where can we actually be great and really stand out? How did you get to that mindset, and how did you actually make that happen?
Well, we got our senior executive team together, and I remember like it was yesterday, we're talking about things, and you know, we recognized, you know, we didn't have the deep historical relationships of a big academic research. We didn't have any NIH funding. We didn't have really the faculty research physicians in the enterprise yet. And years prior to this decision, my predecessor stood up and said, we want to be the safest hospital in America. And we had this really robust journey of improving the level of quality we provide across the organization and even so much into the community. And our chief academic officer said, well, why don't we be the best known academic center for quality of care? And how do we do that within the learning environment so that the future residents, when they go out, they're not going to have to talk to the quality department. They are the quality department.
It's fantastic. It really is a great lesson in leadership and in strategic thinking, and credit your whole team for it. Just fantastic. Take a moment. You've had this great career, relocated and now been there for almost 30 years in Baton Rouge. You yourself have become a raging Cajun and a lot of magnificent raging Cajuns in your area. Talk for a moment about advice on leadership, Scott. What advice would you give people on leadership?
Well, I would call this is called the young leader advice that I give consistently, and it's really to know your business. So when I meet with a young leader wants to grow as quickly as they possibly can, and I kind of sit there and I kind of push them a little bit. I said, know your business. Learn about everything you can about the areas that you have the responsibility for. And then I press them a little bit more. We call lane yap. What's a little bit extra? I said, okay, your lane yap is go ahead and begin asking your colleagues, can I maybe spend a little time with you to learn your business? So instead of going home a little bit earlier, whatever, push yourself a little bit more. The best leaders in healthcare are the people that know and understand how all the different parts of this machine work consistently and effectively because it is so complex and so multifaceted. The other piece I always tell the leaders too is really your number one priority is really deciding who's on your team and who shouldn't be on your team and making sure that you have the right level of team because that's going to accelerate the things that you really are able to do within those work environments that you have oversight or you have the leadership to have. And then, and my last thing is really to have your own set vision, trying to predict what you think your area of responsibility is going to look like in 6 months, 12 months, and really kind of put that on a piece of paper, stick it in your desk or stick it someplace, make sure you take it out frequently, and am I meeting this actual vision that I set my own personal sights on for that period of time?
Just fantastic. Scott, can I get you to summarize that again in 30 seconds for our listeners in case they're taking notes?
So know your business. Make sure you understand your business very well. Make sure that you actually try to do a little bit stronger push about what areas that you might want to spend a little bit more time to learn about it. I think it's also about how do you have to prioritize the people that you hire. So that's your number one priority, is hire the right individuals. And then third, set your own personal vision that's going to be able to look back on and say, did I accomplish that or not? And those could be 6 months or it could be a year of long vision statements that you personally do.
Just fantastic. Scott, what a great pleasure to visit with you today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Simply a great career and what you've done at Our Lady of the Lake in building out the Academic Medical Center and dealing with Governor Jindal and all the things you've done with it and your team are magnificent. I want to thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the time this morning.